Good evening. We'd like to welcome everyone to this evening's City Council meeting for the City of Mesa for Monday, January 9, 2012. I'm Mayor Scott Smith, and as always, it's an honor and privilege for me to serve and to be conducting this meeting. We'll begin tonight's meeting with the Pledge of Allegiance, with an invocation that will be offered by Reverend Mark Rowden of the Emmanuel Presbyterian Church. After the invocation, Vice Mayor Scott Summers will lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance. Please rise for the invocation and the pledge.
Vice Mayor, City Council members, I wanted to let you know before I pray that this invocation really began yesterday afternoon about 3 o'clock. There were 17 churches that put together a prayer walk, and that was held yesterday afternoon at 3 o'clock. We circled the city and prayed for you in particular by name, and we're committed to do that for the rest of the year. To that end, let's pray now. Heavenly Father, 2012 is a year of a lot of challenges. There are a lot of folks that have been dispossessed. Last year was a hard year. These folks that have authority, they have a heavy burden. I pray tonight that as they take up those matters, that you would give them wisdom, godly wisdom, that they would decide well, that they would point us in a direction that would not just be lucrative or physically good, but spiritually good too, that the city would enjoy a revival. I pray that you would give them your peace and your presence here tonight. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Would you join me in the pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Please be seated. Thank you. Before we get into the consent agenda, there's a couple items that are going to show up on the consent agenda that are pretty notable. And while there won't be any debate, I wanted to introduce some people who are here today representing those parties because they're significant in our community. One of them is significant for what I think will be a great presence, and that's Benedictine University. We announced last week we were entering into exclusive negotiations to place a campus in downtown Mesa. And we're looking forward to that. And I will tell you that since we made that announcement, I think others have been flooded with comments and excitement from people both inside and outside of Mesa, from throughout the state, looking forward to to Benedictine coming into town. I would like to introduce Mr. Bill Bartlett, who's a trustee, and also Mr. Charles Gregory, who's the executive vice president. And you have a few more, I don't know, are these others with you want to introduce? Yeah, we know this one.
Mr. Mayor, thank you. It's nice to be here with you. Yes, I have a couple of friends and partners of the university that happen to be in the area and wanted to come out and visit, and I asked them to come this evening, too. One is Kirk Madison. Kirk is with DLR. And the other is Bruce Brongi, who is the president of ICI Construction. And they came to accompany Mr. Bartlett and myself because they're not only friends, but they're friends of the university, and I appreciate their support. When they heard that we were going to be here, they were just as excited. The excitement is not just here in Mesa, I must tell you. It's also back in the Chicagoland area. I think our phone has been ringing off the wall with people that have relatives that live in the Mesa, Phoenix, and Scottsdale area, excited that we're coming to town. Alums have been writing. Prospective employees have been writing. My own staff is petitioning to want to come to Mesa. They'll be glad to come most any time I reassign them. But it is truly an honor and a privilege for us just to be chosen. I could not help but listen to Reverend Rowden's prayer and his comments. I'm hoping and praying that we will also be the catalyst or an aid or a support unit or a partner for you all to make the things happen in this community that you would like to see happen. What brought us to this time and place was nothing but vision, and the best projects begin with a clear vision. And the mayor and the city council members should be applauded, but also recognized for having that vision. We're only as good as big as we can dream. And we think, I agree with the mayor, the more in the early stages, I wasn't real sure because what this meant was a new venture. After being here, this community has already Benedictine, Mr. Mayor, because it's welcoming, and that's what Benedictine is. We celebrate our 125th year, and I can't think of a better way to start it than celebrating with the city of Mesa. Yeah. So thank you.
Thanks so much, Charlie. Appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you. The next group we have has already, they're basically physically here over the last year plus. They've been building a beautiful facility down on Broadway, just east of Dobson, and we are very pleased to have Crescent Crown as part of our community. And even before they finished their facility, they jumped both feet into the city and the community and became very active in community efforts and activities, and we appreciate it. And tonight, even though they didn't want to be introduced, I'm going to introduce them anyway, because that's what I get to do as mayor. So we have Mr. Joe Catronio as the Executive VP and General Manager, Mr. Rich Marchant, VP Operations, and Mr. Neil Bayer, VP Finance. Gentlemen, thank you so very much for being here. And we look forward to the formal opening of this beautiful facility down there, which is a great addition to our city. So thank you. All right, the next item on our agenda is to take action on consent agenda. And tonight the consent agenda will be read in by Mr. Kevin Christopher. Kevin?
Good evening. All citizens are permitted and encouraged to speak on agenda items. If you're interested in speaking, please fill out a blue card in the back of the room and give it to the city clerk. When the council considers the item, you'll be called to the podium to provide your comments. Mayor and council members, these are the items in the consent agenda. All items listed with an asterisk will be considered as a group by the city council and will be enacted with one motion. There will be no separate discussion unless a council member or citizen requests, in which event the item will be removed from the consent agenda and considered as a separate item. If a citizen wants an item removed, a blue card must be completed and given to the city clerk prior to the council's vote on the consent agenda. Item 2, approval of minutes of previous meetings as written. Item 3A, act on liquor license for commemorative Air Force Arizona Wing Museum, one-day charitable event, Saturday, March 17th, 2017, North Greenfield Road. Item 3B, act on liquor license for Save Our Boy Foundation, two-day charitable event, Friday, January 20th, and Saturday, January 21st, 6555 East Southern Avenue. Item 3C, act on liquor license for Soccer Village Foundation, two-day charitable event, Saturday, January 14th, and Sunday, January 15th, 13303 South Ellsworth Road. Item 3D, act on new wholesaler license for Crescent Crown Distributing, 1640 West Broadway Road. Item 3A, act on new restaurant license for McDuffie's 2, 155 South Power Road. Item 4A, act on contract to purchase a replacement spectrometer for Water Resources Compliance Lab. Item 4B, act on contract to purchase new low-level mercury analyzer for Water Resources Compliance Lab. Item 4C, act on contract to purchase replacement carbon analyzer for Water Resources Compliance Lab. Item 4D, act renew contract for automatic transmission repairs and services for the fleet services and fire departments. Item 4E, act on contract for water meter assembly rehabilitation. Funding is available in the fiscal year 11-12 water bond capital program. Item 4F, act on contract for City of Mesa Natural Gas Gate Station 3, 6940 South Power Road. Funding is available in the fiscal year 11-12 gas bond capital program. Item 4G, act on contract for Mesa Drive and Southern Avenue improvements. Funding is available in the fiscal year 11-12 streets capital, streets bond, water bond, electric bond, gas bond, and Maricopa Regional Transportation Plan funds. Item 5A, act on resolution approving submittal of matching grant application to U.S. Bureau of Reclamation for installation of combined heat and power cogeneration system at Greenfield Water Reclamation Plant. Item 5B, act on resolution authorizing city manager to execute matching grant agreement with Arizona Sports and Tourism Authority for playground shade structures. Item 5C, act on resolution authorizing city manager to execute a memorandum of understanding with the university regarding the lease of a city-owned building. Item 5D, act on resolution authorizing city manager to execute agreements for the purchase of supplies of electric power and energy. Item 5E, act on resolution vacating the alley south of Brown Road, east of Mesa Drive, between March and April roads. Item 6A, introduction of ordinance regarding Z11-26, 2100 West 8th Street, located west of Dobson Road and south of Loop 202, for a rezone to allow the development of a stadium, team training facility, city recreation fields, and commercial development on the site. Item 6B, introduction of ordinance Z11-30, the 8400 to 9200 blocks of East McKellips Road north of Hermosa Vista Drive, and the 8200 to 9200 blocks of East McKellips Road south to McClellan Road for modifications of existing PAD overlay for the Mountain Bridge planned area development. Item 6C, introduction of ordinance Z11-31, parcel 7 at Mountain Bridge, located north of McKellips Road and west of Ellsworth Road, for a rezone and site plan review to allow for development of a single residential subdivision. Item 6D, introduction of ordinance Z11-32, parcel 14 and 15 at Mountain Bridge, located south of McKellips Road and west of Ellsworth Road, for a rezone and site plan review for development of a single residential subdivision. And item 6E, introduction of ordinance Z11-29, 6560 South Mountain Road, located north of Pecos Road and the west side of Mountain Road, for a rezone and site plan review to allow the expansion of an existing industrial facility. Mayor and council members, these are the items on the consent agenda.
Thank you, Kevin. Is there any item a council member would like to remove from the consent agenda? Okay. Is Ms. Crocker, are there any items that a citizen would like to remove?
No, ma'am.
Okay.
Is that out of order?
No, it's from the PNZ. Councilman, hold on, before we go, we have a motion to approve the consent agenda from Councilmember Kavanaugh, a second from Councilmember Glover. Councilwoman Higgins. I think it's the first time I've called you Councilwoman, as a matter of fact.
Very good. It's only been a year and a half. It's okay. No. I've been a woman, actually, much longer.
Much longer than that.
In fact, I think in a couple of days it'll be almost 51 years. So.
Oh, my gosh.
Anyway.
I'm slow learning. But go ahead.
We failed to mention 5A and the amazing project that is. We didn't talk about it in study session, but our city staff is cutting edge here using the methane gas that's coming off the wastewater treatment plant to produce energy for the plant. So that is some cool, environmentally sustainable, you use any word you want, it describes our water resources and our utilities department doing a great job, Frank and Dr. Sorensen and the whole game. I'm like, oh no, we didn't say anything about it.
No, that's good to mention that. Thank you.
Thanks.
We were commending, as Dr. Sorensen barges in through the back doors, someone's screaming at her, they're talking about you on there. It was all good. So watch the tape. You'll see, okay? All righty. Thank you much. Thank you for bringing that up. No other comments, please vote. The vote is 7 ayes and no nays. The consent agenda is approved. The next item on the agenda is item 7A, approving and authorizing the city manager to negotiate and execute a development agreement consistent with the term sheet attached to the resolution for proposed development at the 120 West First Avenue, more commonly known as the Tribune Building. I think we got a good overview on this before. I'll ask Mr. Steve Earle, who represents the applicant, to give us just
to help me figure out this machine here.
A very...
I have just a couple of exhibits.
Okay.
Mayor, members of the council, for your record, my name is Stephen Earle. My address is 3101 North Central in Phoenix. It's my pleasure to appear before you tonight on behalf of Harrison Properties. Jim Harrison, the president of the company, is with me tonight. This is a request, a proposal before you to make reuse of the Mesa Tribune building, which has been there for some time, as you all know. This is a photograph of the building. This building went vacant, completely vacant, back in the spring of last year. They began moving out sometime before that. This is a very unusual building for those of you that drive by it occasionally. It's right there in the heart of downtown at First and Robeson. You can see from the photographs that there are windows at the top of the building and a few at the bottom, but it's a special use. It was expanded four different times. That means the ceilings are sometimes low in it. There's not enough fenestration on the exterior of it. There's many different uses that were inside, so the building has been cut up into different spaces, making reuse or repurposing of the building very difficult. Jim Harrison and his company have stepped forward to purchase the property because they have in tow the state of Arizona, who's decided to consolidate their governmental offices in the East Valley to a single location. This is the preferred location. So it's maybe two things coming together. One bad thing, this building closed and became vacant with the potential for it to be a vacant building for a long time, given its unusual characteristics. But now with Mr. Harrison and his company, who, by the way, they have 6.5 million square feet of industrial space around the valley, and they are the number one lessor to the state of Arizona for government offices that we would call satellite offices outside the capital. So they've had a long history with the state of Arizona providing office space and specifically helping them consolidate to large locations. This building will take about $1.5 million to refurbish, so it's no small matter to basically gut the interior and repurpose it for governmental offices. The state of Arizona has a number of smaller offices in the city, most of them along the Dobson alignment and at various mile locations, and also some on East Main. In addition to consolidating those office spaces into one, which they've done in the West Valley already, they're also bringing new jobs. So we've been able to tell the city staff that there is about 200 some jobs that are being retained and another 100 jobs that are brand new. And in fact, in more recent conversations with the state, they're increasing those numbers. We think now they may bring as many as 400 positions to this particular location. Obviously, this is their preferred location. They do have, obviously, a couple of other alternatives if this one doesn't work out. The good news about this location is that governmental offices is an approved, permitted use in the downtown core. So this use complies with the city's vision for this area of the downtown. Number two, it has all of its required parking on site. There's 185 parking spaces on site, which is more than enough complement for the requirement. This second photo also shows you some of the problems with repurposing the building for office because it has very large blank walls, which obviously don't mix well for offices. So there's going to be some fenestration required in the exterior. This aerial photograph shows you 47th Avenue and Indian School Road. That building that you see in the corner that's highlighted, what would be the southeast corner of the intersection, is a series of governmental offices by the state of Arizona that is Harrison Properties owns and created for the state of Arizona to consolidate their offices in the West Valley, just like they're now proposing on this site. And these are some ground shots of that facility. The second one is another consolidated office building. Obviously, this is a very large piece of property at Van Buren and 51st Avenue. The state of Arizona, again, wanted to consolidate similar offices, and these are some ground shots of that building in which they have put offices very similar to the ones they're now proposing here in Mesa. So we have an opportunity here to reuse a building that will be very difficult but for this use. The state wishes to come here. This will be governmental offices. They're occupying a minimum of 70,000 square feet in this building, so it's a major presence. The initial term of their lease is 12 years. They will begin occupying, assuming that we sign this development agreement, will begin occupying space in June of next year. And then over 2 years, they'll continue to bring all their people over here. So about 2 years from that, they'll have their full complement of employees, at least 300, we believe almost 400. And then for another 12 years after that will be the initial term with two 5-year options for a total of 22 years in this location. Obviously, bringing that number of jobs into the downtown would be viewed as a very good thing. It's consistent with your goals for the downtown. We have heard some concern raised, and I'll make a point about this, that what the state was proposing to do here was bring social service facilities to this location. That is not accurate. They are not bringing any social service facilities into this location. By the way, your ordinance indicates that social service facilities are defined as homeless shelters, charity dining rooms, drug treatment centers, halfway houses, and emergency shelters. In other words, locations that provide basic services of housing, food, medical treatment. None of those uses are proposed at this location. This is a government office building that will be open Monday through Friday, 8 to 5, to service those who need assistance. And in the chart, which we provided to staff of the departments that will be here, the Attorney General's office will be bringing 55 employees. The Department of Developmental Disabilities, those that provide assistance and training for the disabled, will be bringing almost 100 people here, employees here. Family Assistance Administration, which provides assistance to low-income families, will be bringing 80 employees here. And Employment Services, that's people seeking training for jobs, is another 55. So you can see kind of the range of types of jobs that will be here. They are good-paying jobs. I think the lowest in the list is $22,000. The highest is almost $90,000. With full benefits, these are permanent jobs with full state benefits. So we think it's an opportunity to do a very good thing, to make a repurposing of this building that could otherwise become a blighted condition over time. The one thing that the state needs that is not apparent, since this building has all of its required parking, is they would like to make sure that all of their parking would be handled so that all of their customers could park on site. And for that reason, they asked Harrison Properties to work with the city to find an additional 100 spaces, in addition to the 185 they have on site, so that their employees could park off-site, leaving room for any customers to always park on site. I think that was another question that was raised about to the people coming to this facility. One other thing, and I'm pretty sure I can go back to one, if we have the aerial of the, I don't know if we actually had the aerial, but no, we don't. In your packets, there's an aerial photograph that shows what the building looks like on Robeson. There are two loading docks that right off the street, that's the thing you see almost at the corner. Those are being removed, and that's becoming the new entrance. So the building will be improved in its appearance. The state wants to have a significant entryway where those coming to the facility will be able to handle through their new, brand new front door on Robeson. I'd be glad to respond to any questions you might have, but we have worked out the arrangement for the parking with the city. We feel it's a good and appropriate arrangement, and I'm open for questions if you have any.
Any questions before we go to comments on that? Let's go first of all to Councilmember Glover. It's your district.
Thank you, Mayor. I don't have any questions, but I do have some comments. As the council member for downtown Mesa, I thoroughly analyze every single project that comes into my district. And after reviewing all this information about the current project for the Tribune Building, I am in favor of the project going forward as proposed. I think that, like Benedictine University, it is a great reuse or repurposing of a building that would otherwise remain vacant and unproductive. The developer will be putting in a substantial amount of money to the building to remodel not only the inside but the outside of the building. And I think by looking at the pictures that they have provided, it's a proven track record of working with the state and accomplishing their goals, and I think it will complement the downtown community. I think that this new development will spur further development investment in the downtown area because developers will look for those small successes to build upon, and this is one of the things that might get the ball rolling for the downtown area. Mr. Earle said, this will bring over 300 jobs, maybe close to 400 jobs, to the downtown area. And with the state of Arizona consolidating all of its offices in the East Valley to one location, I think it's important not only to keep all of the jobs that are in Mesa currently, but to bring additional jobs. And like you said, it's high-paying jobs. And so it will help revitalize downtown and hopefully bring those state workers to the downtown restaurants and shopping. I think that it takes all types of buildings to build a great downtown and a great diversified downtown. I think having state government buildings in downtown complement not only the city of Mesa office buildings, but it will help bring other development into the downtown area. I don't think that having a building of this type and use will deter development in that section of downtown. I don't have a problem with the parking arrangement that the city is has come up with the developer, because I think that parking is a commodity that I'm willing to negotiate with to help bring people into downtown. And when people see that there's on-street parking next to this building, they'll see the activity that will drive more activity into the downtown area. My only one concern is that in modeling our solar panel model after SRP, I think that needs to be more council-driven than staff-driven, because I've had many businesses, not only in the downtown area, but outside the downtown area, and including homeowners and residents in my district that have wanted to have some kind of rebate that matches SRP, and as to my knowledge, the city has not come up with a plan yet, but I think that needs to be council-driven, but that is where I stand.
Thank you, Council Member. Vice Mayor.
Thank you, Mayor. I just had one quick question and a comment you made, and I think you might have answered it later on the presentation, but you mentioned that they have all the parking they need on this site, and yet you're asking us for parking subsidies, so I don't understand why we're here.
Thank you for the question, Mayor. Vice Mayor Somers, I may have misspoken, but what I wanted to point out was the building and the property had sufficient parking to meet code. The code requirements for the city of Mesa are actually significantly less than the 185 spaces that it has on site. The difference is that the state of Arizona has had some experience with the number of spaces they need for the departments that are consolidating this location. And they just want, and in the lease negotiations, and by the way, the lease has been signed, so we know they're coming if this agreement is acceptable. But in that lease negotiation, they said, we actually want another 100 spaces. And the 100 spaces that they're talking about, I think there's 46 of them in a lot just barely north of the property that we would say would be off-site parking in a lot that's owned by the city. But it's the two rows immediately adjacent to the site that have apparently been used by the Tribune building in the past. The others are on the street. And the city generally doesn't charge for on-street parking. The state was willing to have those spaces designated with a decal that are around their building so that their employees could park there, and that would leave all the spaces on site for customers to come and be able to park on site. And
you mentioned the lease was signed. What are the contingencies on the lease based on this vote?
The contingency is they need the extra 100 spaces in order to move into this facility.
Okay. Question, if I may, Mayor, follow up, and maybe this is best asked of staff. the parking is city parking. How are we dedicating that long term, given downtown plans possibly to use that parking space for infill development? And what would be our obligations to provide parking if we decided to redevelop some of these sites?
So, Mayor, Vice Mayor, what we've made clear in the agreement that if that becomes the case in the future, then the city has the option to provide parking spaces within
about a block.
We
did a study, Vice Mayor Somers, of the number of on-street parking spaces within about a block of this site. There's over 200, and so we set aside, I think, 54 that were essentially immediately adjacent to the site, but we said in the agreement that if, for example, the city needed some of these spaces, that we'd simply work on others that were nearby.
Okay, that's it for now.
Okay. Councilman Kavanaugh, no questions? Any other questions or comments?
Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Earle. Okay, I'll entertain a motion on item 7A. I have a motion by Councilmember Glover, a second by Councilmember Richens. Is there any further discussion?
Comment?
No comment. Councilmember Fenter.
I'm sorry. How great a night is this? I got to tell you, when we look at the Old South Side, for folks that were born and raised in around here in Mesa, the Old South Side Hospital is going to be a university with a couple of thousand students. We have the Mesa Tribune building that I used to be a carrier with 40-something years ago, and it's going to be reused with hundreds of jobs. This is a great night. I just hope people realize that and look at the opportunity for the future. I may be jumping ahead of the vote, but I think it's pretty exciting times to see what's happening, and pay appreciation to city staff working through these issues, the mayor's good leadership. These are very positive times and positive things happening.
Thank you. I'm trying to figure out who's who because they got names all jumbled up here, but Councilmember Higgins.
Me, I think you might have meant.
No, go ahead.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Vice Mayor.
Just go ahead and push the button. I think you'll be fine. There.
That button? Does that sound good now?
Okay. That's good.
Okay. I did a little analysis on parking, and I know that we're not getting close to the gift clause, but I just have to be open with the kind of numbers we're talking about. We're talking about 100 parking spots over a 22-year time period, and actually looking at a modest applying a modest rate of inflation of 3.2%, it's approximately $1,076,000 over the 22 life. So it's that, you know, I want to be transparent here. We're giving a big parking concession away. To bring that down to a human scale, the average spot is $32, and they will be paying $4.17. So that's a 87% discount. So over the next...
Does that include on-street parking?
That is our... Yeah.
We don't charge for on-street parking.
No, that's the 100 spots that shows up on here where they need
but
to.
But the 54 are on-street.
I'm just basing off my chart.
Okay.
So, you know, we're nowhere near a gift clause. I'm not implying that we are. I just think that over the longer period, that whole 22 years... they'll still be paying $4.17, and the person that parks next to them might be paying $64, or would be based on the same 3% inflation. A more fair model would be something similar to the apartments that say, hey, your first month free, and then your second month half price as we get you into this building and get you situated. So I'd be happy to look at, you know, a 50% discount for this first year, a 25% the second, and then by, you know, year five, you're paying full market rate. Something that would be more in line with the market as we are today, how, you know, there's incentives to move in and that type of stuff. So I'm really uncomfortable with the big number when it comes to parking. And like, you know, I'm sorry, I forgot who the speaker was but, you know, you said Mr. Earl. No, that's okay. I just didn't want to not say your name correctly. That, you know, it is in the general plan to have this type, maybe government in that area. But I think that, you know, we have a vision for downtown, and what are we really wanting it to be? Do we want more like, you know, downtown already has a huge section of government. We're the government. We're downtown, and we're big, and we're in many places. So, you know, to limit the amount of government by us in itself as opposed to making it bigger and bigger, and more, perhaps more the university-type development and more of the student housing and market-rate housing, that stuff that comes along with it. So I think, you know, we kind of have a vision for downtown. I think we need to have that intestinal fortitude to stick with that vision and make those decisions. You know, not jump at the prospect of a shiny object that might not fit that vision. So for those reasons, I will be voting against this motion. Okay. Thanks.
Thank you. Councilmember Kavanaugh.
Thank you, Mayor. During my terms on council, I've had the opportunity to work with DES. I'm very familiar with the operations of many of their offices, as Mr. Earl noted, there in my district, and about several hundred of the employees are going to be transferred to downtown. I've worked with those agencies. I particularly did a lot of work at the Dobson and Main DES building, where the city worked very closely with the state to locate a key center there along the light rail line, and that has been a very successful center. I know the work that the DES through its various divisions is critically important to the residents of our community, and I think it is important they locate in buildings that are easily accessible by the public, both visible and by transportation. But as Councilmember Higgins noted, I'm going to be opposing this. And again, with all due respect to Councilmember Glover, I think this is the wrong use for the wrong building. And rightly or wrongly, I do believe that location of all these services at this particular site has the potential to have a negative effect on surrounding development for a significant period of time in a key area of downtown for development. So again, rightly or wrongly, we have to deal with perception by applicants and developers in the community in terms of where they want to put market rate housing, other types of businesses that are in our downtown vision. So and as Councilwoman Higgins said, I think this project is not consistent with the vision that we have for downtown. The building itself, I think that will be obviously a great challenge to repurpose it for the use that is presented. And quite frankly, I think $1.5 million is low for the work that will need to be done on this site, because the building itself, when it was in use for the Tribune, never had this many employees, but it's certainly not in a use that is intended. And it was not a public access building as well. And so I think that a lot of work does need to occur to help transform that. And I wish you well in doing it. But the building itself, I think, will be a challenge for that. And I have a concern because, again, this is potentially a quarter century of occupying that space in a key downtown location for this use, which I think is inconsistent with our vision. But as I said, I have worked with DES and the many divisions that are in my district, and they have some great men and women who provide wonderful service and advocacy to our residents. So if they move to downtown Mesa, I know they will continue the great work that they do. But for those reasons, I'm going to be in opposition. Thank you.
Thank you. Vice Mayor.
Thank you, Mayor. In recognition that
it is on this great Monday, the BCS Championship bowl game is playing, and I'm sure people are really eager to turn off Channel 11 and go over to the bowl game, as I am to get over there. I will attempt to make my comments pithy. However, those of you who know me know that it's a lost cause. As a matter of fact, Kyle Jones, the former vice mayor, has sent me a text out of the blue saying, take a deep breath, because he knows how long I go. But I'll attempt. First of all, Mr. Earle, I very much appreciate the short presentation that you were able to give us today. Unfortunately, we weren't able to meet because of the holidays and the short time that has taken to go through this process. But listening to the type of services that are going to be provided there and what's not going to be provided there, what kind of office space and the types of jobs, gives me a much easier feeling than I had coming in to this meeting tonight. So in some way, I share some of the enthusiasm that that my fellow council member and retired firefighter shares in having that 300 to 400 bodies coming to work their jobs Monday through Friday. And let's face it, DES does play a vital role in helping people get back to work. And that is extremely important, particularly in these tough economic times. A lot of people have taken advantage of the services provided by the state, provided by DES, to help them get back to work. My concern, however, isn't so much with that. My concern is with providing an economic incentive to this particular agency. Now, don't get me wrong, I have been on the right side of economic development tools. I do think that local government does play a role in helping to bring jobs and build wealth in the community, and we have done that on a lot of occasions. Able Engineering is starting up in my district. They're going to break ground very soon, bring 250 high-wage jobs there and build that up to 500. First Solar broke ground last year, and they're doing even more work on that building, bringing tens of millions, hundreds of millions of dollars in development to East Mesa, and some 600 to 900 jobs will be there starting at the end of this year into next year. MD Helicopters was a great example, I think, of this council working with a private developer to keep a great asset here in Mesa. And the biggest example here recently were the Cubs. You know, the Cubs had the opportunity to leave, and the city council and the voters, with their support, we decided that we wanted to stay in that particular business, and that was some great leadership that happened with the mayor and members of council and even in the private sector to make that happen. I guess what I struggle here with is the difference between Department of Economic Security and providing them with an economic incentive to move into a downtown area or any area in Mesa, and all those examples I mentioned before. And the key difference is what our competition is and what kind of jobs they're bringing to our area and who we're competing with. And why would we get involved in providing any incentive to them at all? The fact is Able Engineering, in their high-wage jobs, they employ a lot of mechanical engineers and machinists, and they had the opportunity to go to Texas or Alabama, who was recruiting them heavily to come there. And believe me, the economic incentives in Texas are huge to move. First Solar was also looking at Texas, and I think we were competing with New Mexico. So if it didn't happen here, it was going to happen elsewhere, not just in another community, but in another state completely. MB Helicopters also looked at Alabama and Texas. Again, those states have very robust aerospace programs. And the Cubs, who really are part of the life's blood of this community, were seriously giving consideration to moving to Florida. I mean, Florida. But Florida, nonetheless. We have too many, it's equal in teams. So the threat of them leaving was real. And we weren't in just competition amongst our community. We're in competition with other states for high-wage jobs, for really great jobs. I don't feel that the Department of Economic Security, as important as they are to our community, as important they are in the services that they provide, really lives up to the level of what kind of economic development tools we should provide to them. And the reason being is, well, look where DES has been just in the past, 10 years. They were here in downtown Mesa not that long ago. There's a building that we're about to rebuild in an effort to bring in St. Benedictine University, which is a great reuse. And granted, it took a long time. It's a great reuse, but they were here, and then they moved. But they didn't move to Texas. They moved to West Mesa. So they were here again. And now they're looking to come back to Central Mesa. And all this was done without us having to get involved at all. So the only thing that we really have to do is kind of an ex post facto provision of a discount, a pretty heavy one, by the way, on the parking fees. And it strikes me that if we were just to put this out in the market, that there are a lot of buildings that are currently abandoned in West Mesa of all types, of all commercial types. I could think of several down in Fiesta District just as one example. I'm not suggesting we put that there before anybody throws it below a gasket, but there are several buildings with seas of as much free parking as you could possibly want. You wouldn't even have to pay $5 a spot or $3 a spot. It's all free. What I also find, just as a side note, a little bit amusing about this, and I think Mr. Richens will find this rather amusing, he and I have had conversations about wanting to create parking in downtown really as a free market, as a tradable commodity, something to be bought and sold. We want to see people using the light rail and using buses. And if my numbers are correct, and they might be a little off, Mayor, but we're looking at 300 employees up to 400, depending upon the state budget. And you're locked into 278 parking spots. So I actually kind of like that, the fact that they might be using rail. But still, it sounds like they could be using some more parking spots. So I guess the problem I have with this is that I don't think it raises to the level of economic development that we are hoping for to get council involved to provide any kind of economic development subsidy for the site. And other than that, the fact that we're going to have a reuse of the building, and I understand there was, a call center interested in it too, the fact that there's interest in reuse in our buildings, the fact that they're reusing a building in downtown, I think it's great, and I applaud the work that DES does, but I just think providing a subsidy for this particular use really doesn't rise to the level of a strong economic development decision. So for that, I will not be in support. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you, Vice Mayor. Councilman Richens.
I kind of came to this party late on this particular deal because I was out of town when it was presented to the council in a regular session. And so through some various briefings, I've been trying to catch up on what the deal was with this. And I've had the opportunity to do community development in Mesa for a long time. And and see what the market is here and who, what businesses may want to come here and what businesses choose not to come here. And something that rings in my head a lot is, don't let the good be the enemy of the great. And I think Mayor says that periodically. And in West Mesa, I've never looked at that as settling. I've looked at that as, we need to understand our market and take advantage of it. And in this situation, I think this is a good opportunity for downtown Mesa. Is it the ideal? No, it's not. But I often think of Site 17 in the redevelopment context, and I realize that we've left a lot of money on the table. We have no electric customers there. We have no gas customers there. We have no water customers. And for a city that runs the utility, to have any of our buildings that we own or not idle in our downtown is a huge opportunity cost. So I just look at, you want to start looking at incentives and start clicking up revenue and see all the revenue that's lost just because we have a dark building in downtown. It's pretty obscene. And when I look at a bunch of parking spaces that nobody's using anyway and I'm getting $4 for them, that may be a pretty fair market rate deal right now on that part of downtown. The other thing that strikes me is we've had very many long and arduous discussions about form-based code, and I predicted rightly that we would struggle with form-based code because we're of a Euclidean mindset that likes to regulate use instead of form. And this building has a good form for downtown, and in a form-based code scheme, we need to concentrate more on how this building interacts with the street, how it works, how it functions, how traffic will flow around it, and the landscaping, that kind of thing. And I'm sticking to those form-based principles. I think it's an important principle we need to understand in downtown, because the downtown is it's important to have many layers, many different opportunities in downtown. And we have some undesirable uses downtown, certainly. But the more uses we bring to our downtown, good and mediocre, you water that down. But you bring in economic activity. Everybody's got a little bit of money to spend. And to have 400 more employees come to our downtown, I think this is a good time. They'll have great opportunity to go get master's degrees at Benedictine University down the street. There's some great restaurants that they can eat at. I just think this is a really good opportunity. Lastly, I had a friend who was a redevelopment consultant for the city of Flagstaff about 20 years ago. And if anybody remembers downtown Flagstaff 20, 25 years ago, it was less than an interesting place. And there was a proposal there to put a little restaurant in downtown Flagstaff. And the city wanted to kill it because there wasn't adequate on-site parking for this little restaurant. And they had a largely vacant buildings all around this restaurant, and the consultant had to shake a planner, no offense to my planner friends, and say, guys, solve a parking problem when you have one. We will be successful in our downtown when we have a parking problem. I want a parking problem in downtown. I want a traffic problem downtown. That means that we've been successful. And so to turn away a deal for small reasons to me, like parking or what employees might be there or what clientele might come, is offensive. They're part of our community. The employees that will work there live in our neighborhoods, and I think they would appreciate a nice quick commute to our downtown, and I'm looking forward to welcoming them to Mesa. I will be supporting this. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilmember. Any other comments? I guess I'm a little surprised by this whole discussion. First of all, this applicant doesn't need the city's approval to use this building. This is conforming use.
Absolutely.
And so they don't have to have us. They could actually walk in and use it with the existing parking on site because it meets our standards, our code. But I think that as Councilmember Richens said, this discussion goes far deeper, and that is, what are we going to do downtown? And I think that begs the most basic question, which is, what is a downtown? A downtown, I think in the past, has been defined by this city as something that can be micromanaged and can be forced into different holes and different pegs. And I think we've been pretty successful in Mesa proving that that is a failed approach. How do I know that? All I got to do is go down to the corner of Mesa Drive University that's been vacant for 20-plus years. All I got to do is go to McDonald and First Avenue and see a piece of ground that is vacant. All I got to do is go down to the building that, yes, now we're using Benedictine University and others, that has been vacant for 15 years. And not for a lack of people who wanted to do it, but for, I believe, a lack of visions to what, and an understanding of what really a downtown is. A downtown is a living, breathing organism. It changes. It can accept a lot of things that maybe you wouldn't put on a corner in the middle of a residential. But a downtown accepts really about everything. The other thing is that downtown is constantly changing, constantly evolving. Our downtown has just now started to evolve, and part of the reason is that this city has stifled it for many years. The other thing is that what might work in one area wouldn't be appropriate in another area. I have no problem with this right here because I look at the area around it, and I know there's a lot of vision and a lot of dreams. You are not going to have high income, high-cost housing at Robeson and First Avenue. You're not going to have it for a long time. And why? Because the second thing, our downtown is a very big piece of property. It's a square mile. Main Street is a mile long between Country Club and Mesa Drive. There's a lot of property, both vacant, and there is also property that will be reused. And if a better use comes along, there's a lot of buildings that could be demolished and mid-rise, high-rise type things will be built over the next 5, 10, 20 years. This is not one of those. This will be low on the totem pole because of where its location. The other thing is the discussion of somehow incentive or discount. I agree with Councilmember Richens that if you have parking that is not being used and won't be used, I'm a little plussed as to how you think you're going to charge to use it when there's no use. Over half the parking spots, and actually we could fulfill the parking needs with all on-street parking, for which we charge nothing. And for which, as I've driven by this building many times, there is nobody parking in those spots. And there will be nobody parking in those spots because they are parking spaces that are either immediately adjacent to this building and this property or that are adjacent to other buildings and properties that are not have a use that would require on-street parking. I think some of the calculations don't even include many of the parking spots immediately in front of or immediately across the street. So actually, this entity could come in and use this building and just allow their employees to spill out onto the street and park in the street with nothing. So I don't get the focusing on somehow some kind of great incentive or discount we're giving because we don't have that. The other thing is I appreciate what Councilmember Glover had to say. This is his district. This is his downtown. And not that downtown isn't important to all of us, but I appreciate the work he's put into it and the discussions he's had. And I appreciate what he said about one of the most important things about having a downtown. And we've learned this, is that the greatest thing that will kill a downtown is not a marginal type of use. Now, there are some uses that are horrible. You don't put a toxic waste dump in downtown. But let's say we say that government workers, we should look in the mirror if we're going to say that that's a marginal use. But the fact of the matter is that the one thing that kills downtown is emptiness, is a lack of activity, is boarded up buildings. People don't come to invest where there's failure. They invest where there is success. They don't stop to ask what is the average wage in that building. They look at the cars on the street. They look at a street full of cars. They look at a parking lot full of cars. And they look at everything, and they say, wow, this place has activity. They look at 300 to 400 people coming in every day, spilling out into the downtown, perhaps, we hope. They look at them filling the light rail coming into downtown Mesa. That's what breeds success in development, is when you have other success to look at. I also am very sensitive to the fact that I want to maintain jobs in Mesa. And I don't think that's being parochial. I think jobs that are currently in our community, I know the DES is going to move these somewhere. I want them to make sure they move here. The other thing is they're going to move into downtown, and I think there's a big difference between relocating between between strip centers and moving into our downtown where we want to accumulate an activity. So I look at this and I say, wow, the option of having a use that I believe is a good use. Is it my number one pick? No, I'd love to have a 30-story Trump Tower. Not going to happen right now. Hope that may happen some days. And what we found out, using the very argument that the state moved out of DS, I'm sure that if there is a more valuable use for this property, the developer and the state will figure out a way to reuse that, because that's what the market does. It creates opportunities when there is real economic opportunity. So I wholeheartedly support this. I think it'll be good for our downtown. I think it's a good approach. I don't see it as an incentive. I see it as a recognition of the realities of the marketplace and the fact that if we can draw this many people in for this kind of use in a building that otherwise, I believe, will go unused for years and years, those are the odds, because we've seen it happen. I think this is a good use at this time for our downtown. Okay, so we have a motion from Councilmember Glover, a second from Councilmember Richens. Please vote. The vote is 4 ayes and 3 nays, with Councilmembers Higgins, Summers, and Kavanaugh voting nay. The ayes have it, and the motion carries. Ms. Crocker, are there any requests to speak from the audience?
No requests, Mayor.
Okay. That being said, we have a motion to adjourn from the Vice Mayor, second Councilmember Glover. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? We are adjourned. Thank you very much.